Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you would, please. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. And this has been the foundation scripture for this study that we've been doing, taking a look at the party platforms, comparing them to the Word of God. But I need to let you know something first. Saturday, September 26th, yesterday, was a moment in time for this nation. It was a moed in Washington, D.C., and there was something extremely significant that was taking place. Simultaneously, we had on one hand in the Washington Mall the return. It is the day of prayer and repentance in our nation. Speaker after speaker, musician after musician came forward, prayed over the nation, poured their hearts out to God as a nation. We could see on television, people were there, they were filling up the mall. And then around the world, and you need to know this, Kenneth Copeland Ministries paid for the ability for the return to be broadcast. Hallelujah. So we had a part in that. Of course, Pastor Terry spoke by video as well as Brother Copeland and did a magnificent job in their part that the Lord gave to them. Julie Cerrone, who grew up here in this church, her parents, Lily Cerrone, Julie is her mother, and Lily is in Israel, went to school in Israel, is working there now, and she was also on the return yesterday. So what a day it was. And at the same time, in the Rose Garden, there was taking place another significant God-ordained event where the Supreme Court was concerned. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There was something else I was going to talk to you about, but the Lord really impressed me that this needs to be said, it needs to be discussed right now, and it needs to be preached. And what I was going to do today, I'm going to do next week. But in our scripture, Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That is why it is so extremely important that each one of us vote this year in this most crucial election that is coming up before us. It is an absolute necessity that all involved in this church who are registered to vote and are of voting age, that we get out there and do what we need to do, because it makes the difference when the righteous are in authority. And how do the righteous get in authority in this nation? By vote. And the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, then the people mourn. And it's important that the Christians vote. It's important that the believers vote. It's important that all of us get out there and sow that seed and believe God for what God wants in place in this nation. So what was taking place yesterday? It was just amazing as I was watching it. I was watching the president and the one who he has chosen to take place of the justice that just passed away just a few days ago. And let me go through a couple of things with you on this. The Lord took me on a track yesterday about how to present this to you and lay it out before you. What does the Supreme Court and judges have to do with the election? It's extremely important. It's extremely vital. And just to take you through this, the president's job, his responsibility is to appoint Supreme Court judges and federal judges who clearly represent his views and represent the views of the political platform that he stands on and believes in. That's what this is about. These judges, especially judges on the Supreme Court, have a major impact on our nation and a major impact on the future of our nation. You know, the founding fathers would be shocked if they were able to see into the future, into some of the decisions that were going to be made on the Supreme Court. The rulings such as 1962, they ruled prayer out of public schools. In 1963, they ruled the Bible out of public schools. In 1973, they opened the door to abortion through Doe v. Bolton and Roe v. Wade. Those kinds of judgments being made by just a handful of people, it is so important what takes place. Now, the president has the responsibility of appointing federal judges, and in his time as president, he has appointed a record number of judges, almost 200 judges across the country. And he's appointed more female judges, a record for recent history of presidents. The local judges, they're our responsibility, yours and mine, that when we go into the voting booth, those positions are important. Because how many of the federal judges, how many of the local judges went on to become federal judges? And federal judges, how many of those ultimately sat upon the jury or the position of the highest position in the land that a judge can take? So it's important. It's extremely important. So let's take a look, first of all, turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And we're going to look, first of all, at where the Bible stands where judges are concerned. The Bible has a lot to say concerning judges. And God is the ultimate judge. He's the ultimate lawmaker. And so we see just a few of these scriptures that I'm going to give to you today. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. And I'll read it to you from the King James and then from the New Living Translation. It says in verse 25, "And I will turn my hand upon you and purely purge away the dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city." The New Living Transition says, "I will raise my fist against you. I will melt you down and skim off your slag. I will remove all your impurities. Then I will give you good judges again and wise counselors like you used to have. Then Jerusalem will again be called the house of justice and the faithful city." And I see this is what the founding fathers imagined. That's what they were seeing. And when I read it as "I will give you good judges again where the Supreme Court is concerned, and wise counselors like you used to have. Then Washington, D.C. will again be called the home of justice, the city of righteousness, and the faithful city." Can we praise God for that right now? Let me give you a couple more scriptures. You don't have to turn to these, but you can write them down. 2 Chronicles 19, 5 through 7. And this is the Amplified Translation. 2 Chronicles 19, 5 through 7. "He appointed judges." And when I was reading this, I was thinking about the president and how the president of the United States appoints these federal judges. "He appointed judges throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, 'Be careful what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. And he is with you in the matter of judgment.'" You see the intense responsibility that is upon a judge. Be careful what you do. Watch out for what you do. For you don't judge for man. You judge for the Lord. And he's with you in the matter of judgment. "So let the reverence and fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed what you do. For there is no injustice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking of bribes." Deuteronomy 16, 18 through 20. This one reminded me of the local judges, how we go into the voting booth and we in each one of our districts vote for those judges. And it says, appoint judges and officials for yourselves from each of your tribes, or you could say each of your districts, in all the towns the Lord God is giving you. They must judge the people fairly. You must never twist judgment. You must never twist justice or show partiality. Never accept a bribe, for bribes blind the eyes of the wise and corrupt the decisions of the godly. Let true justice prevail, so that you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. John Jay was the first Supreme Court justice. He said, Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. It is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. That was the first Supreme Court justice. There were godly practices in the original Supreme Court. They would pray for God's wisdom before ruling. They would quote the Bible and use the Bible to make their decisions. So first of all, we must answer the question, what does the Democrat Party stand for where the Supreme Court decisions are concerned? Let me read this to you. Even though the 2020 Democrat Party platform is silent on the subject of marriage, the 2016 Party platform supported the redefinition of marriage through the Supreme Court's decision in the Obergefell v. Hodges on June 26, 2015. We all realize and we all know what the Bible says about same-sex marriage. We'll get into that at a later time. We need to look at that. But what they're saying here is the Democrat Party supported the redefinition of marriage. And the Supreme Court's decision in the Obergefell versus Hodges decision, the Supreme Court ruled the fundamental right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples by the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. The 5-4 ruling requires all 50 states, 5-4, 5-4 ruling. You see how crucial it is to have the right people on the Supreme Court. That 5-4 ruling of Obergefell v. Hodges required all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and the insular areas to perform and recognize the marriages of same-sex couples on the same terms and conditions as the marriages of opposite-sex couples with all the accompanying rights and responsibilities. Democrats applauded the decision by the Supreme Court that recognized LGBT people like other Americans have the right to marry the person they love. We will appoint U.S. Supreme Court justices and federal judges who will respect and enforce foundational precedents, including Roe v. Wade. Now, that's where the Democrat Party stands on the Supreme Court. Where does the Republican Party stand on Supreme Court decisions? They say, traditional marriage and family based on marriage between one man and one woman is the foundation for a free society and has for millennia been entrusted with rearing children and instilling cultural values. We condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in the United States versus Windsor, which wrongly removed the ability of Congress to define marriage policy in federal law. We also condemn the Supreme Court's lawless ruling in Obergefell v. Hodges, robbing 320 million Americans of their legitimate constitutional authority to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. We do not accept the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, and we urge its reversal, whether through judicial reconsideration or a constitutional amendment returning control over marriage to the states. We seek to enable courts to begin to reverse the long line of activist decisions, including Roe v. Wade and Obergefell v. Hodges. So you see, there's a difference between the two. I wanted to read now to you several prophecies that were delivered by Hank Kuhneman. Some of you have seen Hank Kuhneman on the Victory Channel. You have seen him on the Victory Thon that we had. And we've come to know and to love Hank Kuhneman and to respect and honor him as a prophet, the prophetic word that flows from him and through him to the body of Christ is pretty astounding. And there are three in particular that had to do with the Supreme Court. Let me read the first one to you. This was New Year's Eve of 2018. Here's the Lord speaking. I am greater than your Senate, and I am greater than your Supreme Court. I will shake your court again. And one who represented death, who is part of legalizing death to those who never had a chance to walk the earth, I shall take that which represented death of a ruling of a woman, and I shall give back to your courts a woman who shall represent justice. And as this take place, get ready, because this is the new era that I am speaking of. There shall be a reversal of the laws upon the land that aborts the children in the womb, and it is coming fast. Here's another one dated May 22nd, 2019. Just as things get heated up in your land, there will be a distraction that shall be from your Supreme Court. It will bring discussion, fear, arguing, and bickering because it is about to fall upon this nation. One who stood for death in the womb, justice demands your replacement. Therefore, a woman has been chosen to rise up, a woman for a woman, injustice for justice. And then just a few days ago, during our Victory Thon, I had the witness to call up Hank Kuhneman and speak a word over Kenneth and Gloria Copeland about their future and the future of this ministry. Before he spoke about their future, he began to talk about our nation. And this is what the Lord said through him. This was last week. I am the God that brings great change to the earth. Can you tell me what year this is? The year of great change. I am the God that brings great change to the earth. Look to the earth and watch and see. As I'm moving upon the earth shall become unsettled. Things shall be shifted and moved back into place and into divine order. Watch, even specifically, what shall take place even upon the land of the United States. For it is not in your too distant future that you will see a new court arise that shall arise in the land. There will be rulings that shall be 6-3, 7-2, and 8-1. That she will be in favor of righteousness, because I am stepping in at this time. I am the God who's bringing forth change. You will see it with your own eyes.
Thank you, Lord.
I was reading this and studying it, the part that said there'll be rulings that will be 6-3, 7-2, 8-1. And I just spent some time meditating on that and thinking about it. And the Lord led me to put together a list of the Supreme Court before September 18th, for that was the day that Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. So to take a look at what the court looked like before that And let me just read the conservative justices and then the liberal justices. Of course, the conservative justices are appointed by conservative presidents, the liberal by liberal presidents. So we see, first of all, John Roberts, the Chief Justice, conservative, Clarence Thomas, conservative, Samuel Alito Jr., conservative, Neil Gorsuch, conservative, Brett Kavanaugh, conservative. So there's five conservatives. Then Ruth Bader Ginsburg, liberal, Stephen Breyer, liberal, Sonia Sotomayor, liberal, Elena Kagan, liberal. Five conservatives, four liberals. Then I thought, when Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed, the new Senate court count will be six conservatives and three liberals. 6-3. There's the 6-3. When another liberal leaves, the Supreme Court will be made up of seven conservatives and two liberals. 7-2. When another liberal leaves, the Supreme Court will be made up of eight conservatives and one liberal. 8-1. There will be rulings that shall be 6-3, 7-2, and 8-1. That's what our future looks like on the Supreme Court. So what about the woman for a woman prophecy? President Trump's top judge, out of the 48 that he looked at and reviewed, to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg is Amy Coney Barrett. President Trump first nominated Barrett to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in 2017. When she finished law school, she clerked for the very strong conservative Antonin Scalia. She considered him to be her mentor. And she shares with him a belief in originalism. Originalism is defined as judges who interpret the words of the Constitution as the authors originally intended. She was a law professor at Notre Dame for 15 years. And while she was there, she was involved in an anti-abortion group called Faculty for Life. She's previously written that judges shouldn't be held to upholding Supreme Court precedents and would join the justices in overturning Roe v. Wade. Now, I'm quoting this from, and I read some of this information from the Washington Post, from the New York Times. And this was from the New York Times. She and her husband are members of a Christian group, or it's a church, called the People of Praise, which grew out of the 1960s Catholic Charismatic Renewal Movement. The group adopted, and understand this is coming from the New York Times, the group adopted Pentecostal practices such as speaking in tongues, belief in prophecy, and divine healing. Woohoo! And I went online and looked at the People of Praise website. One of the things that they said about their calling, and I quote, like hundreds of millions of other Christians in the Pentecostal movement, People of Praise members have experienced the blessing of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the charismatic gifts as described in the New Testament. This is a source of great joy for us and an important aspect of what God is doing in our world today. And then, in a 2006 speech to the Notre Dame graduates, she spoke of law as a higher calling. If you can keep in mind that your fundamental purpose in life is not to be a lawyer, but to know, love, and serve God, you truly will be a different kind of lawyer. Always remember that a legal career is but a means to an end, and that end is building the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Terry, why don't you come on up, if you would, please. We're in the midst of an awakening. We've talked about it. We've prayed about it. And we are here. We are seeing the new birth of our nation. We are seeing God get His nation back. We are seeing changes that we have looked for a long time. And now we're on a faith momentum to see it getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
No, Pastor, something that came to me, I felt like we needed to state again. You did this a few weeks ago, but it's important to bring it up because I see that some people respond. They don't like that we talk about politics in church. They say religion doesn't mix with politics, but you want to really investigate who you're quoting. That concept comes from Karl Marx, and hundreds of millions of people have died as a result of that thinking. Because what begins as they don't mix becomes, so let's just eliminate the Christians and the Jews primarily. Let's just eliminate them, because that never, ever was and is not now God's attitude. And how do we know that? Can you prove that? Well, let's think about that. The first five books of the Bible are called the law, which includes the sacramental and the civil law that God laid out for the nations. Not just the nation of Israel, but for all the nations. Then there's a book that he calls Judges. Lest there be any confusion. There are six books about the political, the military, and the spiritual decisions of rulers. So the two books of Samuel, two books of Kings, and two books of Chronicles are all focused on politicians and the politicians that surrounded the king's court and government decisions, and the political decisions that the nations made. The political decisions, the voice, the cry of the people. And when they chose ungodliness, what happened? And when they chose God to be their ruler. Then let's see, what else do we have? We have four books written by kings. So, you know, that separating of politicians from spiritual things, God doesn't see it that way. Again, you can look to socialistic countries to see, and look and see how that's worked out for them. Not so good. Nearly all the remaining Old Testament books record words of the Lord, judgments on nations and politicians, and what the people of God are to do and to expect. Daniel, I love this, the whole book of Daniel deals with the government of his present day, our present day, and the day that is to come. Mm-hmm. I'd say that covered it all. New Testament, the Gospel, the book of Acts record the interactions with politicians. Did Jesus have any interactions with politicians? Well, yes, genocide tried to wipe him out. He had to flee the country because of the politics of the day. Right. The book of Revelations brings the nations, their leaders, and their governments center stage as we wrap up the age. What about the other epistles? They teach us about our attitude, how to maintain what freedom looks like, how to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and don't let it be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So I just felt like there was some that needed to hear that.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't let the opinion of the world, the New York Times, or even other Christians who don't know what the word has to say about, don't let that squeeze you. You be careful. You be careful to be the one that stands up. Other people have given their life. Surely you can give a moment of your reputation. Hallelujah. Yes, that's right. Preach it, sister. Now back to our regularly scheduled topic. So in Isaiah, where Pastor began reading in Isaiah, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, said, I will appease myself on my adversaries. I will avenge myself on my enemies. The Lord of hosts. So that means angels are involved in this. We're going to see and are seeing already angelic assistance in getting this thing straightened out.
Yes, yes, yes.
I will bring my hand again upon you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away your tin or alloy. What is that? What is dross? Dross is the scum That's literally what it is. Dross is what rises to the surface. It has to be brought to the surface. You have to be able to see it in order to eliminate it. I would say a lot of that is happening. And the Bible talks about that, that there'll be a clear separation in the end times between the wheat and the tares, between light and darkness, between the sons of God and the sons of the world. And that's being more separated than ever. They think the great divide is black and white or brown and yellow, but it's not. It's light and dark. And we're not talking skin color here. We're talking whether the light of the... I'm sorry, Pastor. You invited me up here. It was a risk. I know. I know. I apologize. I'm not sorry, but I
knew exactly what I was doing.
You knew what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't know if you knew what you were doing 43 years ago, but you're stuck with me now. And so what is, what you do?
This?
Oh, okay. Just checking. Keep my eye on you. So I will appease myself and I'll take away the dross and your tin or alloy. What is that? It's a mixture. It's compromise. And at this point, the Lord is saying, I've had it. I'm going to take care. Now I'm moving in and I'm taking care of this myself.
That's what I felt like happened yesterday.
Yeah.
The return opened the window of heaven. He was able to come down and be in the midst of this and start making the changes.
Well, something else that we didn't get a chance to point out first service is that these 10 days were over 10 days of Jewish holiday ending yesterday in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day of atonement, the day of repentance, the day, thank you, Lord, the day that God set on his calendar, not the day that people pick, the day God set on his calendar. Yeah. And he said, that is the day, he said, when you strip it all away, you repent for everything you can think of to repent for. And that was the call of God to a nation of people to repent so that they could go into the next year with his blessing on them.
Yeah.
So yesterday, God made such a way, this event, the return was over this 10-day period and culminated on the Yom Kippur, so that this call for the repentance of a nation. And we want to be sensitive to repenting, not only as a nation, but we are the nation. Mm. You are the nation. Mm. And to say right on top of anything that offends the move of God, the love of God, and to constantly be on top of that, to live in that place of sensitivity to him and anything that wouldn't be pleasing to him. As we do that, then it opens the door for him to move in our lives as well then as the lives of our nation. So he said, I'm going to take that away. And that door opened for him fully yesterday as hundreds of people pray. When I say hundreds, I mean people leading one right after the other. Sometimes every minute, somebody else stepping up to pray. Every 2 minutes, somebody stepping out to pray and to repent, to call on the Lord for his forgiveness, which I believe is going to, Lord, open the door for that gift of repentance to sweep the country. That's why we're replaying that again today. Bless the Lord. Then he said, I will bring my hand again upon you and thoroughly purge away your dross. I will restore your judges as at the first. The presidency, as important as it is, the Lord says, I'm going to restore the judges. Mm-hmm. The judges. And Isaiah goes on to say, I am the Lord. He is our judge. He is our lawgiver. He is our king. That's where we got the three branches of government from, and our constitution came out of Isaiah. The judges, the lawgiver, and the king. And he's the one who sits in rule over it all. Praise God. And he will restore judges as at the first. Now, what were those judges like that he put in place? We have to go back to the book of Judges and look and see. Those judges, and I love studying Jewish insight on that because they get it way better than we do. because they have insight into the Hebrew language, the original language, and its intent. And in that book, there were judges that judged by military. There were judges who judged by civic law, and there were some that judged just on spiritual law. Now, they all had spiritual oversight, spiritual direction, because God picked them and put them in place. But there were only a couple that actually judged both spiritual law and civic law at the same time, and that main one was Deborah. She is the first one of the judges to be called a prophetess. She was the one closest to Samuel, who opened the door for the prophet's ministry that took on a whole different nature from Samuel, then in King David and down the line. Deborah was a powerful woman. Many of the judges in the book of Judges were attributed a few verses, some more. But Deborah has two whole chapters that are dedicated to the time that she was in her ministry gift and calling, and how that nation was brought back around based on her judgments. She spoke both politically and spiritually, but also militarily. She affected all the whole realm of government and lifted up the anointing that God had on women as well. And she was a psalmist. She was a psalmist. Her music went out in a prophetic manner, and she opened the door for music in the prophetic way. I'm telling you, it was all a precursor to what God would do through King David. So it's an amazing thing when we look at that and this anointing that was on her, and we see this all connected then as that judge being put in place. So while we don't put that kind of pressure, so to speak, or expectation on any one person, that's God's business and his call. He can distribute those anointings in many ways through many people. But at the same time, we are blessed to see that God has put his hand on a woman of God to step in and to take her place. And what we believe then, God is going to open the door for the recall of that horrid decision that has murdered 60 million babies womb.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And there's something else that I read also in Proverbs 28 that I think you should know. This is a warning to those... I shouldn't have closed my Bible. And it says, this is talking about leaders through this whole proverb. If a man willfully sheds the blood of a person and keeps the guilt of murder on his conscience, he's fleeing to the pit and hastening to his own destruction, and let no man stop him. So whether that is personal destruction or destruction of their career and their political, or even the effect of their calling, let no man stop him. But a faithful man shall abound with blessings. He who walks uprightly shall be safe. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we lift this whole process to you. And Lord, we get in step with your plan. We thank you, Father, that pray in the spirit now. And we thank you, sir, that your hand rests upon Amy, rests upon our president. And now, Lord, let it rest heavy upon our Senate. I pray, Lord, that you speak to every senator, that, Lord, in your kindness and in your merciful ways, that you speak to every senator in the name of Jesus that will cast a vote to cause them to know the will of God. And I pray, Lord, that they do it. I pray that they do it. I pray that they do it. I pray that they do. But I especially speak to those, Lord, who have already declared their stand for righteousness, their stand for the unborn. And I pray, Lord, that they be strengthened in their inner man by the Holy Ghost to do what is right. And to stand up, Lord, for those that cannot speak or stand for themselves. For every person born in America or conceived in America has the right, Lord, to the pursuit of life to the pursuit of happiness. And murdering them in the womb allows no life at all. So we pray over her confirmation. We pray that it will be shocking to the world, shocking to the world how well it will go in Jesus' name. We pray for angelic intervention, angelic assistance. Lord, like the book of Daniel says, that you close the mouths of the lions, that the curses, Lord, and confusion come back on the heads of those that would try to confuse, that would try to caress. Lord, let their own confusion come back on them.
Yes.
Let it just be confusion, confusion, confusion among themselves as they try to pronounce confusion on your handmaiden.
That's right.
And in the name of Jesus, we give you the praise and the glory for victory of righteousness. Let righteousness prevail.
Yes.
And you will have your way, sir, by this election. You will have your way. You will have your way. You will. It will be your way.
It'll be your way.
No matter who was voted in, it will come out your way. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus.
Praise,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some people say, well, how can either way, when the two choices are so clear in righteousness or not, how do you know either one could be God's way? Well, the Bible says that God picked Pharaoh. God picked Pharaoh, one, because his heart was hard. He didn't harden Pharaoh's heart and then put him in there. His heart was hard when he got there. And the power of God hardened it more and more and more till it got to such a point that God was able to display the full might of his glory. And God's going to show his might and glory where this nation is concerned, one way or the other. And it's just better. It's just better to go with God's ways from the beginning. It's just better. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice.
Amen.
It's a good thing for everybody.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
You know, Amy Barrett has 7 children. I don't think she's going to have any problem with the Senate.
Amen. You know, in case you didn't know this, 2 of her children are adopted and 1 child has Down syndrome. And that woman yet can do what she has done. Wow.
Praise God.
Well,
before we go today, I want to do one thing, and that is we have